One man came to Jesus and said, I will follow you. He said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go home and let me bury my father. What he was really saying is, let me stay until he dies. He's getting older, and it won't be long before he dies. Let me just stay here until he dies, and later, God, I will follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you follow me. Another man ran up to him and said, I will follow you, Lord, but wherever you go, only let me go home and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Follow me. In other words, Jesus is saying to people, don't play games with me. Amen? You ever say that to somebody? You're wanting somebody to be serious about what you're talking about, or serious about your life that you're living with them, or whatever it may be, and you say, don't play games with me. And this is what Jesus was saying to these men. I don't want you to play games with me. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to let me be Lord of your life, if you're going to surrender your life to me, be serious. Make it a 100% commitment. If you're going to follow me, then follow me and me alone. Follow me and I will make you. You say, well, Pastor Roberts, you don't know what Jesus is dealing with me with when he is working in my life. Well, I know it's easy to begin to feel like that. But when you look around and all you can see is a lot of problems, and it doesn't look like there's any way out, it's easy to begin to feel like that. When my friends can't seem to help me, or when my family can't help me, or when the mess that I'm in, I'm not even sure Jesus can help me. You listen to me today, folks. I want you to know that Jesus never gives up. Never. Now, you may think it's too much, but Jesus never gives up. Jesus didn't say, follow me, and I'll see what I can do. Never. He said, follow me, and I will make you. I'm here to speak purpose into your life today. Do we want purpose? Amen. Today I want to speak purpose into your life. You may already know that there's no way you can work it all out in whatever situation you find yourself in. You may already know that there's no way that any other man can work it out. But I want you to know, folks, with assurance this morning that God can work out your situation. You see, there is a purpose for your life. And it is not to live in prison of cannots and impossibilities. But the purpose for your life is for you to turn it all over to God and let him make you something greater than you've never ever thought you could be or ever been before. Michelangelo was standing before a piece of granite. And he had this chisel, and he had his hammer in his hands. He was hammering away and chiseling away at that piece of rock. And somebody stopped him and said to him, what are you doing? He said, when I look at this rock, I see an angel trapped in that rock. And you ask me what I'm doing, I'm letting him out. Folks, your life may be like that. It may be all messed up. You may be up and out and in and out and down and out. You may have made thousands of mistakes in your life. But you listen to me today. God looks at you and he sees a different person in your life. And he wants to help you. Amen. He wants to set some things free in your life. He wants to get you out of this situation, and he is able to do it. Come on, let's love him right now. I see an angel. I see a son and a daughter of God. I see a successful person. I see somebody I can use, he says. And he's chipping away at your life. And you may say, well, it hurts. Yes, it does. But you got to get that person out. That's inside of that rock. Chip away. Chip away. Chip away here, chip away there, folks. That's what Jesus wants to do. It looks like a mess on the surface. But God sees that it's deeper than the surface. And when the world saw David, they saw a little insignificant red-headed shepherd boy. But when God saw David, he saw a giant killer. Amen. I wish that some of us could get the attitude that David had that day. Because when the Israelites said, he's too big to fight, David said, no, he's too big to miss. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, when the world saw David, they saw a little lad that there seemed like he would never amount to anything. But when God saw David, he saw the king. Hallelujah. The world, folks, they look at you, and they may not see much. But when Jesus looks at you, he sees great possibilities. He sees something deeper. He sees something greater. And he says, follow me, and I will make you. When the world saw the disciples, they saw dirty, smelly, rough fishermen. They saw despised tax collectors. They saw financial politicians. But when Jesus saw them, he saw men who could turn the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Folks, listen. The message that God has sent to this church is, don't worry about what you are. Just follow him. Put your life in his hands. And I have the power to make you. The demoniac over Mark 5. He had to be chained up. He broke those chains. He tore off his clothes. He ran naked down through the town. He howled and screamed and filled with at least 2,000 demons. And when the world looked at him, they would say, there's no hope in this guy. There's no hope. Write this guy off. There's no hope for this man. He is crazy. He's insane. He's filled with demons. But when Jesus saw him, he saw a preacher. Hallelujah. Jesus crossed over the water and met the man, and he cast the demons out of him. And before they knew what was going on, he was clothed and sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. There's hope. Just follow him. Listen, folks, I'm glad to know that God can take something that looks hopeless in this world, and he can shine a new light of hope into it. He can take something that has been infected with the filth of this world, and he can clean it up, and he can make it look holy again. He can take something that looks dead to the world, and he can breathe new life into it. Folks, understand, I don't want us to ever get so saved that we forget that God is still saving folks. God is still fixing situations. I don't ever want us to get so holy that we forget that God is still taking worldly sinners and he's cleaning them up and he's fixing their lives. So let's get real. You like to get real? Some of you do. Take me back several years. People like Brother Rick didn't look like much. Right? Came in here with a whiter mohawk than he's got now. Wife beater shirt on. Thought he was all this and that. But look what God did to him. Come on. Praise the Lord. Why? We all get caught up in garbage of the world. We could probably go around this room and say, look at what God brought you from. Maybe if we all carried a picture from our past in our wallet and say, man, thank God he brought me from that. Yeah? Thank God. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Why? Because we're all caught up in the garbage of this world. And we are all stuck in these traps of worldliness. Come on. But listen, folks, something happened. God stepped in and started cleaning up. Right? God started cleaning people up around here. Brother Greg, you glad God cleaned you up? Huh? God does great things. And working, he's working in our lives. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me out of that sin. He picked me up. He washed me up. He changed the direction of my life. And as I follow him, he is still helping me. Amen. He is still guiding me. And if you'll just follow him, he'll do the same for you. And that man that had been delivered over 200 or over 2,000 demons was sitting there. And he said, Jesus, let me go back with you. And Jesus said, no, you go down to the towns around here and you tell them the great things that God has done for you. Folks, there are people on drugs and alcohol, people that are trapped by illicit desires of abnormal sexual and deviant things. And I want you to know that the world may put a label on them and say that they're hopeless and say that they're helpless. But Jesus said, if you will follow me, I will make you. I will make you what you want to be. Folks, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I get happy when I think about Jesus, the name that removes our fears, the name that can remove our sorrows, the name that is music to the sinner's ear. It's life. It's power. It's peace. Jesus said, if you will just give me your life, don't play games with me. Surrender everything to me. Follow me, and I will make you. The world looks at us. They look at us one way. And we look at ourselves one way. And we get discouraged. You see, Simon came to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said something very significant. He said, You, Simon, you are Simon, but you shall be Peter. You are Simon, but you shall be Peter. Folks, you aren't hearing me today. He said, you are, but you shall be. Hallelujah. You are now Simon, but you shall be Peter. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. You are, but you shall be. Folks, see, don't worry about what you are. Just think about what you shall be in him. I call that the possible you. Come on. The possible you. Okay. I wish I could get folks here today to quit thinking about the failing you. And start thinking about the possible you. How come it's so easy for us to think about the failing? All the failures that we've done. I think we ought to start doing sometimes a little daydreaming about what Jesus wants to do in our lives. About what I can be in Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on. How about the possible us? Possible me. Amen. I want to be something for Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the possible you. Now you know so many people get beaten down by life. Maybe they have abusive spouses or abused children or incest in the home and alcohol and drugs and rebellion and in the lives of people that you know. And it can go on and on. But folks, we get down to where we think that we're just absolutely just nothing. And we think that God can never do anything with me. We think the church is for good people who do all the right things. No, the church is not a place for good people who do all the right things. Folks, the church is a place where people who have given up can find hope. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to look at the possible you. Amen. He wants to change your life. And he will if you will just follow him. He says, I will make you. He will make you that possible you. What does it hurt to dream? I remember as a kid sitting on the pew, and the pastor would be up there, or he'd bring a special speaker in, and I'd say, one of these days, I want to do that. Probably didn't really dream that it could happen. But I just said, God, I just want to do something for you. I just want to do, I want to avail myself for you. You know, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, they didn't have any food. So he took the loaves and the fishes, just a few of them. And he broke them and he gave to the disciples. And he said, give these out to the crowd. 5,000 men besides the women and children. So maybe you're looking at 20 to 30,000 people here. And he fed all of them. And then, you folks, you know that when it was all over, he said something very significant. He said, I want you to go out, and I want you to pick up the fragments that nothing be lost. Now, Jesus, they said to him, Jesus, now come on. We're tired. We just passed out all this food to these people. 30,000, 20,000, whatever it may be, 10,000. We're tired. Can't we just go home? We've been feeding these people all day. We want to sit down. We want to rest in my recliner. We sit out in my rocking chair. And he said, pick up the fragments. Jesus, you made this bread. Jesus, you multiplied this fish. Why should you worry about a few little fragments on the ground? Can't you tell we're tired? And Jesus said, pick up the fragments that nothing be lost. I want somebody here today to hear me. That God that we serve is a God who wastes nothing. Now you may be bewildered. You may be brokenhearted. You may have a fragmented life. And everything comes to pieces in your life and is fragmented. And you don't know what to do. I want you to know that Jesus said, pick them up. Now, I didn't come here to beat you up. I came here to bring you a message today from Jesus Christ. He didn't say kick you when you're down. He said pick you up. He said pick them up and show them how to get a hold of me. Let them follow me and I will make them. He is great at taking the broken and taking the shattered hopes and the ambitions and gluing it all back together again, folks. He is great at taking the fragmented lives. He is great at taking the broken in morals. He is great at taking the broken in financials. He is great at taking the broken in every area of life. And he's putting those pieces and those fragmented things back together again. He is so good at that. The possible you. Come on, worship him. Now, I know you feel like you're fragmented today. You may have come with a smile on your face, but inside you are not happy at all. You have a frown that's upside down. You may have come with victory on your face, but defeated in your heart. You may have come with some joy in your face and tears in your heart. But if people around you knew what battles you were fighting, the broken heart that you have, maybe it's the broken dreams or the shattered dreams that you have, they might even be shocked. But folks, I'm here to tell you there is one that knows all about you. His name is Jesus, and he is a miracle-working God. You see, he mends broken people, and he says, follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. When you read Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You see, the scripture says, a bruised reed. Think of the bruised people in life. Think of the bruised because of the ups and downs in their lives. Think of the bruised people because of the storms of life. Those that are bruised because of all the hurt. But the Bible says, Jesus will not take you and break you. Jesus will not break a bruised reed. He says, follow me. And I will make you. I will make you. I'll make you to stand tall again. I'll make you to stand up strong again. Yes, you're bruised and you're broken over there, but I can make you stand one more time. And then he says, a smoking flax. You see, it is used to burn bright. It used to burn bright. It used to have such a flame on it. But now the dampening rains and the affairs of life have come down and the flames is almost gone. And Jesus didn't say, stamp it out. No, a smoking flax he will not quench. Hallelujah. When, folks, what will he do? Amen. He will breathe upon you. He will blow upon you. He will walk beside you. He'll lift you up. He'll strengthen you. He'll tell you he won't put your light out because he wants to turn up the flame. Amen. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me and I will make you. Folks, he has all the power. He has it all today, man. He has all the power. He is the living God. He is the great I am. He has all the power of heaven and earth. And folks, if you're here and you're in trouble, just surrender to him. He is not, hey folks, he's not any big deal, folks. Just give it up and let the Lord take control of your life. And he said, if you will follow me, I will make you. See, he's got the power to make you. He's got the power to mend your broken heart. He has the power to give you a new life. Amen. The potter, when you read in Jeremiah, God said, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. He says, when you go down there, I will speak to you there. And he went down to the potter's house, and the potter was making a vessel. And the potter was working on it, and it was beautiful, and everything was going really good. And as Jeremiah watched, the Bible says, the vessel was marred in his hand. Isn't that the way life is sometimes? Huh? The vessel was marred in the hands. You see, there are times when we feel marred and we think that we will never amount to anything. People are marred. Some of you here today maybe are marred. You're marred by life. The vessel was marred and the vessel was broken. But folks, I'm so glad for what it says there. It says, but the potter made it again, another vessel. Let me tell you somebody right now. All hope is not gone. All hope is not gone. Somebody needs to hear me today. So, all hope is not gone. I said it's not gone. It's all not gone because you're marred by some failure, some beating, or by some brokenness in your life. He says, make it another vessel. We'll make it another vessel. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18:4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. Thank Jesus. Thank God, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are the hands of Jesus. Aren't you glad you know Jesus Christ today? You see, we may have our days of marring. We may have our disappointments and our storms, but folks, he will make you again another vessel. Let's stand. It was battered. It was scarred. And the auctioneer thought it scarcely was worth his while to auction off the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What can I get for the old violin? Who will start the bidding for me? $1 one. Who will make it two? $2. Who will make it three? But no one answered. Then from the back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust from the old violin and tightened up the strings, he played a medley, pure and sweet, as sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer with a voice that was quiet and low said, "What can I get for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. 1,001. Who will make it two? 2,000. Who will make it three? 3,000 once. 3,000 twice. Going and gone. And the people cheered. But some of them cried. We don't quite understand. What changed its worth? And the reply came quickly, the touch of the master's hand. You see, many people with life out of tune and battered and torn by sin and by the circumstances of life are auctioned off so thoughtless to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. He's going once. Going twice, he's almost gone. But then the master comes, you see, folks. And Jesus comes on a scene. And the master comes, and the thoughtless crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul. and the change that was wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. I want you to listen to me today, folks. Jesus is your friend. And he wants to save you, and he wants to deliver you, and he wants to turn those troubled steps into victorious steps. He'll never give up on you. You may be fragmented. You may be bruised reed. You may be a smoking flax. But you may feel so unworthy. You may feel so defeated in life. And so many storms you think that you could never get out. But the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And I want to encourage you to give it to the Lord. Surrender your life and your situation to Jesus. He will make a difference. He said, "Follow me and I will make you." This altar's open. Can you just surrender here today? Maybe you've given your life to God, but you've been holding back on some things and afraid of allowing God to take you to another level. Follow me, and I will.